So we've been spending this Advent season considering this, that as God sent Jesus into the world, now God sends us into the world to go to bring hope to the hopeless, to bring peace for those who know nothing but strife, and to bring light to the darkness. We've seen that Jesus reconciles. Jesus makes us right between God, each other, and the world. We've also seen that Jesus can set us free from anything that holds us back from our full sent potential. Jesus can set us free from all that hinders us, all that God has created us to be. We invite Jesus every day into our lives, and we pray something like this every morning. Jesus, I'm yours. I give this day to you. Use me in some way to bring hope to others today. This morning, we're asking, what does it mean that Jesus is God with us? This notion of God with us comes from the word Emmanuel. It literally means God with us. Pretty easy, right? You can flip your Bibles open to Matthew 1 if you want to follow along today. You can follow along in Matthew 1 in your Bible, on your favorite device, or it'll be on the screen behind me. Now, in Christian theology, we call God with us the incarnation, Emmanuel. At a specific moment in history, the creator God of the universe became a human being just like you and me. We're going to begin in verse 18 of Matthew chapter 1. This is how Jesus the Messiah was born. His mother Mary was engaged to be married to Joseph. But before the marriage took place, while she was still a virgin, she became pregnant through the power of the Holy Spirit. Joseph, to whom she was engaged, was a righteous man and did not want to disgrace her publicly. So he decided to break the engagement quietly. As Joseph considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. Joseph, son of David, the angel said, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child within her was conceived by the Holy Spirit. And she'll have a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. All this occurred to fulfill the Lord's message through the prophet. Look, the virgin will conceive a child. She will give birth to a son. They will call him Emmanuel, which means God is with us. Now, in the middle of some pretty ordinary, everyday life circumstances, there's an engagement, there's a possible marriage, there's considering breaking off an engagement, a dream, prayer with God. In the midst of some really ordinary things, we read Jesus is God with us, fully God, fully human in one body. Now, for those of us that grew up in the church or in a part of the world where Christians are the dominant religious group, we're not really surprised or shocked at the story anymore. God became a human. Heard it, let's move on. But this is an incredible, awesome, radical event, especially when you compare it to the other religions and worldviews that are out there. In Greek philosophy, the idea of a God taking on a body and entering our world as a baby is a mockery. No God would take human form like that and waste time living as one of us. While Muslims have great respect for Jesus, they find incarnation, Emmanuel, God with us. That's an impossible concept. God is holy. God would never become dirty or improper or ungodlike to become a tiny, insignificant, puny human being. In the late 1700s, deism was a popular concept. This idea that God created the world and the universe, but God is hands-off. God does not work through us or the world, but like a person who sets a top spinning in motion, God can't change the top. God can't touch it. God can't figure out how it's going to spin or know where it goes. God is simply hands-off. Now, the incarnation is the exact opposite of that. And Christians, we respectfully and sometimes not respectfully disagree, and we hold on to this radical belief, this radical faith that God did indeed become fully God and fully human in Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus who lived during the Roman oppression in Israel in the early decades of the first century. Jesus was born to Mary and Joseph, but was not their biological offspring. Jesus was born by the Holy Spirit. Now, if that sounds weird to you, then you know what it felt like when Mary and Joseph and all those experienced the first Christmas. We believe this isn't just a story, but something that actually happened in history, an actual event, an event in history so powerful that it can change everything, that it does change everything. If God really became one of us, if God walked with us as a human, it speaks volumes of what God thinks about you and me and the world. Once, years ago, after a long tour, Bono of U2 fame is at a Christmas Eve service in Dublin, Ireland. During this Christmas Eve service, it hits him, and he finally grasps the truth at the center of the Christmas story, the truth at the center of the incarnation of Emmanuel, of God with us. He wrote later, and Bono wrote, "The idea that God, if there is this force of love and logic in the universe, that it would seek to explain itself, well, that's amazing enough. That it would seek to explain itself by becoming a child born in poverty, in manure and straw, a child, I just thought, wow, the poetry. I saw the genius of picking a particular point in time and deciding to turn on this. Love needs to find a form. Intimacy needs to be whispered. Love has to become an action or something concrete. It would have to happen. There must be an incarnation. Love must be made flesh." That's what it means to see that Jesus is God with us. Emmanuel, love had to find a form. It had to do something. It would have had to happen. Love must be made flesh. That Bono reflects exactly what we read in our Bibles. In our scripture, Matthew quotes the prophet Isaiah, who lived and wrote hundreds and hundreds of years before Jesus was born. In Isaiah's time, Isaiah has this vision of God and the Messiah's arrival, and he writes, "All right then, the Lord himself will give you the sign. Look, the virgin will conceive a child. She will give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel," which means God is with us. Hundreds upon hundreds upon hundreds of years before Jesus is born, Isaiah saw a vision and wrote that. There are at least two other times that Isaiah mentions Emmanuel in his book. God with us was the sign. Emmanuel was the sign that the Messiah had finally arrived. So Matthew is drawing that connection for his readers then and now that the Messiah has come, and the Messiah's name is Jesus, God with us. Now, the question naturally arises, well, what is God with us coming to do? If your view of God is a harsh judge with zero compassion and grace, you're not looking forward to God with us, God coming to be here. But that's not what we see, the God we see in Jesus. Jesus who comforts the afflicted and afflicts the comfortable, seeking all to be free from anything that holds us back from our full sent potential in God, all of our sins, all of our hangups. God wants to set us free in Jesus. And we read over and over again in the Christmas story, "Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid." God's arrival, God with us, is not something to fear, but something to celebrate. This is good news of great joy for all people. The Savior, the Messiah, has been born this day in the city of David, in the city of Bethlehem. God has come to rescue humanity from the mess that we got ourselves into and the continued messes we get ourselves into. Now, in the beginning, we, humanity, were designed to walk with God just like we walk with each other. That's the Garden of Eden story. We decide to choose good and evil for ourselves instead of going with God. And that sin separates us from God's presence. Immediately when that choice is made, God initiates a rescue plan to bring us back to heaven, to bring heaven and earth back together again. Now, what does that say about the character of our God? God is not spiteful or vengeful, but God loves us. God loves you. God wants the best for you, even when we royally make a mess of things. God has grace for us and wants to help us back on the path that leads us to life and life to the full. That rescue plan leads us to Jesus. And wherever Jesus goes, pieces of heaven appear, wherever he is, healing and wholeness to all who want it, pointing us to this world that is coming where heaven and earth will be together once again. Because Jesus is Emmanuel, because Jesus is God with us, God wants to work through us to bring bits of heaven to earth just like Jesus did. Surrendering our lives to Jesus brings heaven into us. And then we serve others. We serve others with a listening ear. We share our story about Jesus. Our half a Christmas challenge, all of that serves to bring a little bit of heaven to our corner of the earth. Because of God with us, we are equipped and we are sent to go. We are sent to go to bring hope and life to all who feel anything but that. Now, let us not miss exactly where God chooses to arrive. In manure and straw, as Bono put it. And yes, I edited him for language. Now, you would think the God of the universe, who created everything we can see and not see, God should arrive at the most beautiful palace in the world, appearing to kings and queens and royalty first. Except if God did that, then Emmanuel, God with us, God's only for the rich, the powerful, those with authority over others. God didn't appear at a palace. God could have arrived in a church or a synagogue in the first century. But if that happened, then Emmanuel, then God with us, is only owned by all the priests and the pastors and the religious class. God didn't arrive there. Instead, God with us arrives to a poor, engaged couple, a carpenter and his soon-to-be wife, in a backwater corner of the Roman Empire that I'm sure many in that day had no clue where Bethlehem was. Wait, that's part of our empire? I had no idea. God's arrival to a poor family means Christmas. It means God with us. It means Emmanuel is for all of us. Emmanuel is not just for the powerful or the religious, but for every single human being on earth. God is for us. God is not against us. God wants to be part of every piece of our life, redeeming every part of who we are, bringing bits of heaven to every part of our lives. The Christmas story is incredibly full of twists and turns and surprises. God with us tends to do that. We see just one in our scripture this morning where Joseph is convinced Mary is unfaithful and seeks to leave her quietly and honorably. Right there, we see why Joseph was chosen to care for the Messiah. That is an incredible amount of honor and grace that Joseph shows Mary. It's an amazing amount of honor and grace for someone to show who's been incredibly hurt by their fiancé. The twists and turns don't stop because then Joseph finds out that everything Mary said is true, and it's confirmed by an angel telling him in a dream. And so Joseph marries Mary as he originally planned. That are twists and turns in the Christmas story, and those are just our short 5 verses this morning. Friends, if the first Christmas was full of so many surprises and very ordinary, very everyday circumstances, are we ready for Emmanuel to surprise us this Christmas? In relationships we thought would never be repaired again this side of heaven, God with us just might have a few surprises for you. For the family member who's just been so resistant to anything to do with God, you might find an openness. You might find a willingness, a sliver of an opening this Christmas to meet them where they are. For you still wondering if you believe all this Jesus stuff, this might just be the Christmas that you're ready to fully surrender your life to Emmanuel, to God with us, to God for us, God sent to rescue us from all the ways we make a mess of our lives and in the world. This Christmas, let's make room for God with us to move. We pack our schedules so full of events, of shopping and activities and parties, we can barely see straight anymore. We don't leave space to breathe, much less to hear God's voice, to live God's purposes in our lives. You know, it's not that we're hostile or hate Christmas, but we simply don't have time to ponder what it means that the God of the universe came to walk our soil, to breathe our air, to laugh and to cry right beside us. Make room this Christmas for God to move in your life, to surprise you. Open your eyes to the surprise that God wants to bring your way. Watch how God's going to bring a little heaven to earth for you this season. Leave some space for God with us to be with you. Not only does God with us want to be with you, God with us wants you to go, wants you to bring a bit of that heaven to others. It has been an incredible joy to watch 380 gifts from our One Thing Angel Tree last month to go out and to impact people in our community. You're bringing some heaven to families in need this season. Our Half a Christmas Challenge will bring hope and a bit of heaven throughout the entire year through those two organizations that we're supporting. Be in prayer. Consider what God wants you to bring for this Candlelight Christmas Eve worship service. And when you take time to be a listening ear, to cry with someone, to celebrate a win, God with us, Jesus is working through you to bring heaven to earth. A kind word, a smile, an act of love, something we don't even think much about, can change an entire person's world. Paul Harvey, the American radio broadcaster, tells one of my favorite stories about Emmanuel, about why God came to be with us as a human being. Harvey writes, "I think the Christmas story, the God born a man in a manger and all that, it escapes modern people. Mostly, I think, because they seek complex answers to their questions, and this one is so utterly simple. For cynics, for skeptics, for the unconvinced, for all of us, Harvey submits this modern parable, this story with a lesson. He writes, "Now the man I'm going to introduce you to is not a Scrooge. He was a kind, decent, good man. He was generous to his family, upright in his dealings with other people. But he just didn't believe all that incarnation stuff, which the churches proclaim at Christmas time. It just didn't make sense. And he was too honest to pretend otherwise. He just couldn't swallow the Jesus story about God coming to earth as a man. I'm truly sorry to distress you," he told his wife, "but I'm not going with you to church this Christmas Eve." He'd feel just like a hypocrite, that he'd much rather stay at home, but he'd wait up for them once they finished church. So he stayed and his family went to the midnight service. Shortly after the family drove away in the car, snow begins to fall. He went to the window and watched the flurries getting heavier and heavier, and then went back to his fireside chair and began to read the newspaper. Minutes later, he was startled by a thudding sound, and then another, sort of a thump or a thud. At first, he thought somebody's got to be throwing snowballs against his living room window. But when he went to the front door to investigate, he found a flock of birds huddled miserably in the snow. They had been caught in this storm, and in a desperate search for shelter, they tried to fly through his large landscaped window. Now, he couldn't just not just watch these birds die out in the cold, so he remembered the barn where his children stabled their pony. That'd provide a warm shelter if he could get the birds to go to it. So quickly, he puts on a coat, galoshes, tramps out in the deepening snow. He opens the barn door and turns on the lights, but the birds don't come in. We figured food would entice them, so he hurries back to the house, fetches breadcrumbs, sprinkles them all over the snow, making a trail to the yellow-lighted, wide-open doorway to the stable. But much to his dismay, the birds ignored the breadcrumbs, and they continued to flap helplessly in the snow. He tried catching them. He tried shooing them into the barn by walking around them. He tried to wave his arms, trying to direct them into the barn. Instead, they scattered in every direction but toward the warm, lighted barn. And then he realized, well, they're afraid of me. To them, he reasoned, I'm a strange and terrifying creature. If only I could think of some way to let them know they can trust me. I'm not trying to hurt them. But how do I let them know? Because any move he made tended to frighten them and confuse them. They'd just not follow. They would not be led or shooed because they feared him. If only I could be a bird, he thought to himself, and mingle with them and speak their language. Then I could tell them to not be afraid. Then I could show them the way to the safe, warm barn. But I'd have to be one of them so they could see and hear and understand. At that moment, the church bells began to ring. The sound reached his ears above the sounds of the wind, and he stood there listening to the bells, listening to the bells, pealing the glad tidings of Christmas, and he sank to his knees in the snow. Friends, Jesus is God with us. Let us go be others as Christ is with us. Let's pray together. Lord God, thank you for sending Jesus to be with us, to show us that you are for us. You're not against us, showing us grace and forgiveness in the middle of the messes we find ourselves in. As we surrender our lives to you every day, help us to take us with you so that through our words, our actions, our smiles, others may see you in us and through us. It is in Jesus' name we pray together. Amen.